I'd like to quote our verse from Romans before I get into the gospel lesson. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. So I was camping in Glenda with my family all week and worked on a sermon yesterday that is a different gospel that you have printed in your bulletin. So I have next week's gospel. So feel free not to follow in the bulletin. This sermon's gospel is from Matthew, the 13th chapter. So I guess you can't, well, please don't skip next Sunday, even though this is next Sunday's text. I'll preach on the day's text next week. Jesus put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that one field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into the baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said, "Have you understood all this?" And they said, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Well, I've said many times before that this is live worship. There's no rehearsal. So sometimes I get to do things in front of you that make me a little embarrassed, but that's the way it goes. So grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever saved up your resources for a long time to buy that one thing you've been waiting for? Well, Jill and I were married in college before our senior year, so our last year we spent in married student housing, which was a wonderful gift. Well, like many college students, we didn't have piles of money sitting around. And as this newly married man, I was looking at this Christmas pipeline coming down towards us ever quickly and wondered, how are we going to buy gifts? So we came to the conclusion together that, hey, let's donate plasma. And week after week, we'll put the $20 in a jar so when it comes time for Christmas, we can buy each other presents. So it was a Christmas both of us bled for. It was kind of awkward opening up the presents, knowing how many hours we spent doing this. Well, that year I received a gray Columbia jacket, winter jacket. I still have that jacket. And I gave Jill an aquamarine necklace. She still has. We've been married 18 years. You see, putting time into a certain project isn't a new thought, is it? I mean, that's the gift of our human brains, that we can think into the future. We can try to prepare things that are to come. It's a beautiful thing to look forward, to look what's coming down the pipeline. How can we prepare for it? How can we save for it, right? What skills do we need to learn in order to make sure that we're ready for it? Well, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus gives us 5 parables. 5 extremely different parables to help us understand the kingdom of heaven. And I'd like to add on what lies ahead. Now, we could simply define the kingdom of heaven as the afterlife, right? I think that would be like the quick and skinny definition of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, it's the afterlife, but I wonder if we could define it something different. I mean, the way Jesus is talking about in our parables, it seems to suggest that the kingdom of God could maybe be in our lives because he's using parables of his day to talk about change in his life. I'm just losing my head. And this isn't a new thought, is it? I mean, every time we your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, that's a prayer we say each and every day, that God's will is done not only in the afterlife for us, but here, today, in our worship, in our lives. Well, when I think about the kingdom of heaven just in my own life, I can't help but think about the future, the here and now, not the future when I die, but our future, where God is with us here at Trinity. So when I look at these parables, I see five different ways God could be experienced in our parables. So I'm just going to go down the list. For those of you who like lists, one. With the smallest of seeds compared to the bush, I think about the ways God's love grows within us. Think about the seed. It's the tiniest of seeds and how it grows within us. The gospel says that it becomes a great bush where the birds of the air get to find comfort. In the parable of the yeast, I can't help but think about the ways God's grace helps us change. In seminary, I tried to make my grandmother's buns with the yeast. It was somewhat of a disaster. We still ate them. But there's a big difference between leavened and unleavened bread, isn't there? It's a big difference. Number three, in the parable of the treasure in the field, I think of sacrifice. You see, in that parable, what does that person do? They find a tiny amount of treasure in a field. They sell everything they have in their life to buy that field. Sacrifice. Number four, in the parable of the merchant and the pearls, I see a God who always searches us out to find that one gem. In parable number five, in the parable of the fish in the sea and the net, I think about diversity of community. In that parable, the net is just thrown out into the sea, and it says it catches every fish of every kind. And isn't that community? Isn't that us? So it's really hard as a preacher to preach on a text that has so many parables. Which ones do you grab? Which ones do you set aside? But within our gospel lesson today, I think about God's kingdom that is here, that is now, that I see God's kingdom in growth, in change, in sacrifice, in searching, and also in community. And that's us, isn't it? The kingdom of God in growth, in change, in sacrifice, in searching, and in community. You see, that was my prayer as we began worship this morning, that God would give us a bunch of yeast today to help us change, to help us rise, to help us that God's love can't be stopped. You can't stop the yeast. At least I don't think you can. I mean, the yeast is going to do what the yeast does, and maybe that's what God is, that God will do what God does and continue to get into our lives to change us, to mold us. And the same thing is with the mustard seed. I mean, I hear that it spreads like crazy, that it's hard to stop, that it goes and goes. I grew up in North Dakota, and again, there's different kind of grass here. I'll learn your names of grass. But up north, crabgrass is an incredible grass that takes over everything. It can take a beautiful lawn, and all of a sudden, three seasons later, the crabgrass takes it over. So is God like that crabgrass or that mustard seed that is relentless to come into our lives? And you see, when I think about those first two parables, about yeast and about this mustard seed, that when God gets into our lives, we start to live differently. We live differently that we then move into the other parables where the one person sold everything they had to buy that one field. There's yeast that grew up inside of him, and he saw a treasure that was not his own, and he sold his life in order to receive it. I mean, when we have the yeast of God in our lives, we live differently, don't we? Isn't that why you are here? You live differently. It's easy to stay home on a Sunday morning. But you live differently because the yeast was boiling inside of you to bring you to this place. And because of that, we see the world with gratitude instead of scarcity. We start to see the world with hope instead of despair. And that's what brought you here. And you see, the story of the pearl is a story, again, of what we'll give up for that one thing. It's a beautiful story. What would you give up for that one thing? And I think the one thing in these parables is that relationship with God, the kingdom of God. I think we all can agree on that. The parables are all about this kingdom stuff, this God and love and Christ. You see, in our human lives, we only give things up in order to attain status, a promotion, and diplomas, right? I mean, those are normal equations of our lives. But the surrendering bit in the pearl parable and the treasure parables for successful people like us are confusing. It goes against what we've been taught. You see, to Western people and comfortable people, surrendering or letting go sounds like losing, doesn't it? If I surrender and step aside, it's losing for us. But when we surrender, which is the opposite of cultural success, we actually access a deeper and more profound sense of self. We find out who we are, maybe whose we are. I mean, this is the important part of you that has always loved God and always said yes to God. This is that part of you that has always been open to God's love and spirit. You see, and once we can move our identity to that level of deep inner contentment and compassion, you realize that you're drawing upon a life that is larger than your own. Is that what the parables are inviting us into, a life that is larger than our own? They're trying to go get something that is not within them, a deeper abundance maybe. So David Loos, he was a professor at Luther Seminary, and he wrote these words a while ago on this text. He said, "Be careful. People who have been infected by the gospel have done crazy, countercultural things like sharing all they have with others, standing up for their values in school or the workplace, looking out for the underprivileged, and sharing their faith with people around them." Sounds like the parables, right? You know, sell your life in order to buy that field or that pearl. And if you haven't heard of Nadia Boltz-Weber, she's a pastor down in Denver. It's the House of All Saints and Sinners. And she wrote a book a while ago. And I like how she talked about God's grace. It's a little shocking. She said, "I hadn't learned about God's grace from the church, but I did learn about it from sober drunks who managed to stop drinking by giving their will over to the care of God, and who then tried to live a life according to spiritual principles." She writes, "What the drunks taught me was that there was a power greater than myself who could be a source of restoration, and that higher power, it ends up, is not me." And I wonder, once we learn that and once we know that we can never again settle. I mean, once the love and yeast of God has grown within you, you can't go back to that unleavened bread. You can't go back to being that small seed. But sadly, we do just that, don't we? I do that. I mean, we're trained to think in this life that I am not enough. This is not enough. I do not have enough. So we try to attain more and more and climb higher and higher. And Thomas Merton, he's an amazing mystic, and he said this. He said, "We may spend our whole life climbing that ladder of success only to discover that when we get to the top of our ladder, it's leaning against the wrong wall." So how do we break free from that little voice that says, "I am not enough. This is not enough"? You see, the spiritual journey about this future kingdom of God that is coming into our lives is more and more in that abundant place where you don't have to wrap yourself up in all your hurts, all your defeats, all your failures. So we can finally get to a place and say, "That's not me. It's not the person God created in me." So today I wonder if this worship service is about, again, finding that center. I mean, all the parables are talking about that center, I wonder. The center of this yeast, this tiny mustard seed. I mean, how do we find our center? You see, today the kingdom of God is all around us. in all these five parables that we have, it talks about the things that are small amongst their context. I'll lay them out again. The mustard seed is incredibly small. Yeast in bread is small compared to the rest of the dough. The treasure in the field is incredibly small. The pearl is crazy small in the ocean. Even all the fish in regards to the size of the ocean. The fish are incredibly small. So I don't know, is Jesus trying to say that the kingdom of God is this small thing that grows slowly within you, but when you find it, it becomes huge. It becomes everything, and it changes your life, the way you see the world. So my prayer for you this week, people of Trinity, is that may it grow within you. May God bring you change this week. May God help you sacrifice. May God help you search. And most importantly, may God keep you in community. May God's great net be thrown upon our lives to keep us. So in closing, I can't help but think about the other parables that we have in our lives. You see, Jesus just used parables during his day to help us understand God. And we can continue to write those parables. So that's my invitation for you this week. That maybe the kingdom of heaven is like a hunter who buys 1,000 acres to create a wildlife refuge. The kingdom of heaven is like a family who can't have children, but they adopt a child from Asia. That the kingdom of heaven is like a mother who stops going to school to become a nurse so that she can stay home and take care of her Down syndrome child. And maybe the kingdom of heaven is like that Wyoming wind that is relentless and won't stop getting into your life. Those are a few I came up with. So people of Trinity, I wonder what parable you might write this week. The kingdom of heaven is like... Amen.